Welcome to The Ambitious Introvert, the leading growth and development podcast for the estimated 56% of us who recharge by going inwards. Our purpose is to help you manage your social battery and own your energy so you can reach your true potential in your business, your career, or your life. I'm your host, Emma Louise Parks, a former air traffic controller, entrepreneur, and a success coach with over 15 years' experience. I've supported hundreds of introverts like you who dream big and are ready to take action towards making those dreams a reality without compromising their energy in the process. Each week, my guests and I will be sharing tips, tricks, and hacks on how to build your resilience, master your mindset, and cultivate self-leadership. Skills that will help you reach your goals without trying to be someone that you're not. We'll also be sharing valuable lessons and insights from our own personal experiences, all focused on one thing: helping you own your energy to reach your potential. Whether you are a leader yourself, an aspiring leader in the future, or whether you are led as part of a team, today's episode is going to be incredibly valuable to you as an introvert. Welcome back to the Ambitious Introvert podcast. I'm Emma Louise, and I'm thrilled to be interviewing the wonderful Terence Lee for the podcast today. Now, Terence and I have been in each other's circles for many years, I think 3 or 4 years now. We have overlapped on numerous podcasts, in summits, all of these different things. And we have tried various times to record, but as is life and as our schedules, it hasn't worked out. And then earlier this year, I thought, oh, I really should reach out to Terence to try and get him scheduled in for the show. And at the same time, I happened to see a post of his on Instagram, which had his location as Prosper in Texas. And I just happened to be going to Prosper, which is not a big town, for a month. So I reached out to him and I said, hey, I was going to invite you on the podcast, but actually I'm going to be nearby. Do you want to meet up? So it worked out perfectly because not only did I get to go and have coffee with Terence in person and chat all things introversion, but we then got to record this episode soon after. So Terence's brand is the Introverted Leader. And he is someone that always avoided taking on leadership roles because of an experience that occurred when he was a teenager, which he shares with us on this episode. And then in a twist of fate, he found himself during his corporate career in a situation where he needed to step up as a leader. And discovering that he did this really well set him on a path to rediscovering his own strengths and really start trying to understand why introverts make such good leaders and how he could help others to follow the same path as him. So since then, he's taken on numerous leadership and management roles in several Fortune 500 companies in the defense industry. And on his platform, he really helps to empower introverts to tap into their own leadership potential. Firstly, through his first book, and now through his second book, which has just been released, both of which he talks about in the episode. Obviously, I will pop the links to those in the show notes as well. It was such a joy to connect with Terence, find someone else that is as passionate about helping introverts to reach their potential as I am. And I think you'll find a lot of what he shares about leadership and also about his own management of his energy so that he can do his very stressful, very responsible full-time job, be present for his young family, and also create this business on the side and write these books while still carving out time for himself as an introvert is extremely inspirational. So I really hope that you enjoy listening to our chat, and thank you once again for tuning in to The Ambitious Introvert. Terence, this is such a pleasure to see you again twice in a very short period of time, because I was lucky enough to hang out with you in person just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. It was such a coincidence, me living in Prosper, Texas. And then, you know, we spoke and you just were going to be in the area, literally in my city. I mean, what are the chances? That was awesome.
I think that's just one of those things to remember with business and careers and life in general, where, you know, we can be really ambitious and we want things to happen. And you and I've connected numerous times over I would say probably about 3 years, if not even more, to be like, hey, you should come on the podcast, or hey, you should come on my podcast. And then everything aligned, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't work. And then everything aligned and I was going to be 10 minutes from your house for a month.
Exactly.
And here we are now recording this. So welcome. And it's lovely to see you again.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you having me on. I have a great respect for what you do. So yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I love the kind of introverted coaching stroke personal development space, because when I first got into coaching online, I remember feeling very, I don't like the word competitive, but it did feel very competitive. And I felt like everyone was against me and I had to stand out and all of this stuff that, you know, as an introvert, we don't always love. And then when I niched into introverts and found this kind of little bubble of people, including, you know, yourself, David Hall, Matthew Pollard, there's Joanna Robo, there's so many people, I can't even list them all. But suddenly it didn't feel competitive. Even though we're all talking to the same people, it felt very collaborative. And I think that's something about us really understanding where our space is and what we are uniquely good at, which I think is a very good introvert trait, actually.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, it's interesting that you said that, because I've had a similar experience where in other businesses and other niches, you kind of feel that competition at times, right? Like I've had other endeavors, other things that I've done. And it's almost like everyone is looking at everyone else in that space as, oh, that's my competition. That's what I'm competing against. Where when I started doing this, it was very different. I mean, everyone embraced me. Everyone championed me on, gave me resources. And I do the same thing. You know, anytime anyone has a question that wants to get in the introvert coaching and information space, I go out of my way to help. And I love the fact that it's like that.
Yeah, it's really great. And it feels very supportive in a way that, like you say, we don't always get in other places. And I think this just reminds us that as introverts, we are very warm and open and supportive people. Generally, we've got this myth about, you know, oh, they're socially standoffish and they don't like people. And actually, I find it couldn't be further from the truth when we're with the right people and we feel good and safe in that environment.
Absolutely. That's the key. Yep.
So your brand as the introverted leader, we discussed this when we met for coffee. I love the kind of juxtaposition of this, the way you said you love the juxtaposition of the ambitious introvert, because it's those words that should go together, because as we know, introverts are, you know, perfectly set to be leaders and to be ambitious, but most people think it's kind of odd. So how did you come to recognize that introverts are the best leaders and that this was something that you needed to be talking about publicly?
Yeah, great question. So kind of a long story, long answer, but I'll try to keep it somewhat brief. So I really need to go back, I think, to the beginning for me. So as a kid in the beginning, I was actually a pretty loud kid in class when I was a lot younger. And a lot of that was because we were moving around a lot and I was trying to make new friends and wanting to be noticed and everything. But there was always a part of me that also enjoyed time alone. I always loved writing. I loved singing as well, writing songs, things like that. And when I was around 13 years old, I had an incident with a choir director where she essentially, in the middle of me singing in front of the rest of the choir, she yelled at me and told me to stop singing because I was off key and just, you know, for whatever reason, she yelled at me that day. And that really was a turning point. After that, I started to turn inward a lot more. I didn't want to raise my hand in class anymore. A lot of my confidence was shaken after that day. And that carried, you know, from that age of 13 into high school and into college and even into my corporate career when I started out working as an engineer. And eventually, I was given an opportunity to lead a very important meeting in front of a lot of other engineers and some pilots. And I was not ready for the meeting. I did not like speaking in front of people. I was like, why did you all pick me to do this? And I did it, and it actually went extremely well. And I began to get a confidence boost, and people began to tell me that they saw leadership potential in me. And after that day, I changed my perspective. I started to think about myself differently. I started to say, well, what if my personality and me being more laid back and me having more of an introverted nature, well, what if that's a good thing? What if I can use that to my advantage? And I was able to do that. And I got promoted to various levels within that company. And since then, I've moved to other companies. I've led large programs valued up to $200 million for some very significant efforts for the United States government. So I say all of that to say the introvert leader comes from my experience. And I know that there are so many introverts out there that may not feel like they can lead, or they may feel like their personality is a disadvantage. And my entire thing is to change people's perspective and to empower them to realize, no, it actually is a strength. And so through my books and my coaching, my goal is to help people to show, to look at their introversion as a strength and as an asset. So that's why I do what I do.
I love the growth mindset perspective you had on it of like, well, what if I could turn this around? What if I could make the most of this? How could this be beneficial to me? Because the quality of our lives is determined by the quality of our questions, as they say. And if our questions are, oh, it's not fair, why am I like this? I can't be like everyone else. Then, you know, we kind of get stuck in that belief system. And then here you are going, oh, interesting. Like that went better than I thought. Maybe I could do something with this, which kind of opens up a world of possibilities, right?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things, our self-talk, right? Just like you're saying, the questions we ask ourselves, the things that we say to ourselves, because I could have declined doing that meeting, you know, and everything might have went a completely different direction. When they came to me and told me that my mentor put in his 2-week notice and I would have to leave that meeting, I could have said, well, hey, I'm not going to do it. I'm not ready. But for whatever reason, I did. And that completely changed the trajectory of things for me. So we have to be so careful with the words we say to ourselves, the questions we ask. Like, our self-talk is very important. So the more that we're empowering ourselves and speaking life to ourselves, it just makes a huge difference.
I think for myself, it's become such a normal way of being now to just try things or, you know, ask for things or reach out. And, you know, one of the comments that I had quite a lot in the early days of the podcast, people are like, wow, you have really great guests. You've got these, you know, like thought leaders and they've got big audiences. And how do you do it? And I was like, well, I just asked them. And people were like, well, oh, weren't you worried they'd say no? And I was like, well, no, like it didn't mean anything if they did. Same as our connection. You know, I saw that you're in Prosper and I was like, no way, I'm going to be there. Do you want to meet up? And you were like, yeah. What's the worst that could happen? The worst is you said, no, I don't want to meet up. And I'm like, okay. Whereas I think when we attach stories and give meaning to those things, whereas I'm just so curious of like, oh, wouldn't that be fun? Let's ask this person something or make this offer and see what it could lead to.
Absolutely. Yeah. The worst that can happen is no, right? But I think sometimes we can, as introverts, this, you know, does happen, is we can overthink at times. We can overthink through situations. I know that I have been a chronic overthinker at times in my life. And so that is something that we have to work through. But when we get over that, and when we put ourselves in positions to do things different or try new things, it makes a huge difference when we do it.
It's one of those things that we become more practiced at. And this is what I always say to clients that are newer at having this, I'm going to say more of an open mindset and give it a go and try and see, because it feels more uncomfortable at first, but the more often you do it, it feels less uncomfortable. And eventually it becomes kind of neutral. And one day it becomes comfortable because that's your MO now. That's just the way you operate with things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would love to know, do you remember when you first kind of heard about the concept of introversion, extroversion? Was there a moment when a light went on in your head and it all made sense? Or was it more of a gradual discovery about how your energy works?
So definitely a gradual discovery. I did not know when I was younger, like kind of high school age, college, I had no idea what the word introvert meant, extrovert, or any of that. All that I knew was when I was around large groups of people for a long period of time, I would begin to feel kind of drained. I would just be ready to go. And I didn't understand because a lot of my friends were more extroverted. You know, the majority of my friends were actually in high school and college. And we would be hanging out and they would want to hang out all day. And I would be okay with just hanging out for like an hour and wanting to go back to my room. And so I didn't understand all of that. I thought that something was wrong. That's honestly what I thought. I said, well, I need to be more like them. I need to learn how to become more like an extroverted person. But I had no idea that it actually was just more so due to my natural nature. And there was nothing wrong with that. And I needed to learn how to lean more into it. So honestly, it wasn't until I really started to come up with the concept for my first book, Quiet Voice, Fearless Leader. So in my, you know, adult life is when I really began to learn more about introversion and extroversion and what those things meant. And because even the story that I mentioned earlier, when I took that role and I began to change my mindset on my personality, I still didn't at that time even necessarily associate it to, oh, I'm an introvert. I just associated it with, okay, this is how I am. I'm going to lean more into this. And then later I learned, oh, this is what introvert means. Oh, this is what extrovert means. And it all kind of began to click at that point. And then at that point, you know, I started writing the book and the Introvert Leader brand was born. And that's kind of how I got where I am here today.
When you are working with people, maybe in more junior positions, do you find that you can quite easily identify who's more introverted?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I've done functional management roles where I've had direct reports. I've also been in program management roles. I've led big proposals for new business. And on these different teams, very diverse teams with younger employees or engineers or people that are more seasoned, 95% of the time or more, I can absolutely tell if I'm dealing with a fellow introvert or someone that's more of an extrovert. Because there are just certain things, right? And what's so interesting is society just doesn't understand introverts a lot of times. And that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about what I do, because I'll be in a meeting and it could be a meeting that I'm leading or someone else, and I'll see certain people that are there and maybe they're not talking in the meeting. And certain people are maybe more dominating the conversation. They're doing a lot of the talking. But I notice those people that aren't talking. And a lot of times I'll do certain things to include them in the conversation. Or maybe the meeting will end and I'll go talk to them after the meeting's done. And surprisingly, not surprising to me, but to other people, they'll have these amazing ideas. And it's like, oh, well, why didn't this person say that in the meeting? Well, they didn't say it because these other people were dominating the conversation, right? So there are just all these different things that I think I'm able to notice that a lot of other people don't typically notice.
I think the depth of processing is one of the most overlooked traits of introversion, where people forget. Quite often people aren't speaking up, not because they're fearful or shy or they don't have anything to add, but that as introverts, we sometimes need a little bit more time to kind of get our ideas percolating inside of us before we're ready to share them. And, you know, the more extroverted way is the group brainstorm, just throw out words, like say the first thing that comes to your head, which there's huge benefit in, of course, but it can often mean that the potentially better ideas that might come to someone an hour or two later are kind of missed because all the decisions are made there and then.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the thing, is that there's no, I believe, right or wrong answer necessarily. It's not that the way extroverts do it is wrong or the way introverts do it is wrong or vice versa. They're just different ways of communication, right? And so unfortunately, a lot of people think the way that someone more introverted does it, they just make assumptions about that person, right? Because that person didn't speak as soon as the time was there for them to speak. Oh, well, they're quiet or they're shy or they don't have anything to add to the conversation. But to your point, that may completely not be the case. They may just be processing. I know that happens with me sometimes in conversations. I'll have amazing ideas running through my head, but I'm processing how I'm going to communicate it. And so a lot of it is just, you know, educating people on how introverts communicate and how extroverts communicate.
You're obviously from an engineering, defense, aerospace background. I'm from aviation background as well. Both quite male dominated and generally extroverted, I'm going to say, industries. However, when we get down to the people on the shop floor, I'm going to say the engineers, the air traffic controllers, the pilots, actually a large majority are more introverted just because of the depth of processing that they're having to do in their day-to-day work. What I found really interesting is so many meetings and workshops and different things that I've been to where, like you say, it's dominated by people. But something that my old company used to do so well is at the end of these days, you'd get a feedback form. And the extroverts would just be like, yeah, fine, tick, all of this. And the introverts would be pouring out all of these like great ideas and concepts and observations because they had sat there taking it all in and they'd had the day to process it. And then it always made me laugh the difference in detail that you could get on the feedback forms.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. When we have time to process, we will definitely pour a lot out.
And I think that's really important for employers as well to recognize that there needs to be a feedback loop or there needs to be some space sometimes built in because they could be missing out on massive insights.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So when it comes to managing your energy, obviously you've been in, you know, you're in a very stressful, high-paced job. You've got responsibility. You're running a business. You have a family. You know, there's life going on. Where do you, or how do you, should I say, carve out the time to make sure that you are getting that little bit of, you know, introversion alone time, which I know with younger kids can be particularly challenging.
Yes, yes. So I will be honest, it's difficult at times. It is, especially last year when I started my podcast on top of the things I was already doing in my business and my full-time job and family and everything going on. But what I've learned to do is I'm very specific with my schedule. I have to be very particular with my schedule and with my time, because if I'm not, then the time gets away from me. So I essentially have a routine now where I know what time the kids are going to bed. And when they go to bed, that is my, at least for about an hour or so, that is just my time. You know, I take an hour and a half. And during that time, typically I'll write. Writing for me is like my great escape. It's my passion. I love it. So I'll typically take about an hour a day to write. Sometimes it's writing for one of my books, or sometimes it's just journaling, thoughts, whatever it may be. But I think it's very important as introverts that we find that thing that allows us to recharge, that thing that we're really passionate about. And it may be that it's not an activity like writing. It may be going for a walk. It may be meditating. It may be, you know, eating some popcorn and watching a movie. I mean, whatever it is. But I think that recharge time is very important, because when I don't do that, I definitely feel it. When I just am, you know, go, 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 and I never stop and I never recharge, I can feel the effects of that. So yeah, every day I at least take about an hour or so to recharge and just regain my energy.
Love that. And I love that the writing ties back in with something you were passionate about as a child as well, because I have seen this play out over and over again with clients as well as we enter adulthood and there's a bit more societal conditioning, or there's the pressures of, you know, a job and a family and all of these things. We quite often don't play and don't do the things that we used to do, or we think they're childish or all of this. And I've seen it come full circle with so many clients and just people in their like 30s, 40s, 50s that rediscover something they were passionate about and start to do it. And it feels like they're alive again. And I love that you said, you know, you shut those parts of you down because there was a criticism. But then in rediscovering it, it's been able to, you know, help you write these books and help you write amazing content and connect with people.
Yeah. Isn't that so amazing how that happens? I was literally just thinking about this the other day. As a kid, I used to walk around with a black and white composition book, and it would have all of these stories that I would write. I would just make up stories. I would write, you know, short books, and I would write songs. I loved writing as a kid. It really was something that I enjoyed. And so to return back to that now as an adult, I don't think that's an accident. I think that I always loved it. It was always there. But then, you know, you mentioned kind of societal conditioning, right? And, you know, you get older and now you're in high school. It's like, oh, you need to pick a major in college. And then you get in college. Oh, you need to pick a career. And then you get in your career and now you're working and, you know, you get a family and you just kind of start going through life and you stop dreaming at some point. And so it feels really good to be doing something now where when I do it, I'm returning back to that child. I'm returning back to that kid and that energy in that passion. So yeah, that definitely feels good.
And that's part of when I say to clients, play into your strengths, especially clients that are entrepreneurs who are looking at marketing, like, what is your strength? And if your strength is writing, then write books, write blogs, write emails, write content. Like, my strength is not writing. I really wish it was, but it's speaking. So it's fine. I do a podcast. You know, when we're trying to force ourselves to do something that doesn't align well with us, I've seen so many people do videos or podcasts and they don't enjoy speaking and they feel awkward and they feel conscious and it takes a lot of energy and effort and their writing is amazing, or vice versa. You know, people are writing and it doesn't really flow, and then you put a microphone in front of them and they come alive. So I think as introverts as well, whether you're in corporate or entrepreneurs, it's just worth remembering you have those innate strengths and they were probably hinted at in childhood. And if you can lean into those as a way to connect with other people, that's going to be so much easier on your energy.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. When we try to force ourselves to be something that we're not, or we try to do things, you know, I went through a period of time where I was trying to force myself to be more of an extrovert because I thought I had to be that, you know, whether it was with friends or even in the corporate environment. You know, I would force myself to go to certain events I didn't want to go to, or maybe socialize more than I wanted to. And I tried to do a lot of that. And it was just draining after a while. I couldn't keep it up. And so, yeah, I never recommend to anyone to be anything than, you know, be yourself. Of course, we need to always grow. I do feel like we need to step out of our comfort zone at times. We need to try new experiences. It's good to meet new people, to make relationships and things like that. But at the core of who we are, I think we need to be who we are and lean into our unique strengths and do that.
What's your relationship like with small talk?
Oh, gosh. I don't really have one. I really prefer to not do small talk. I will say this. For some people, I can understand probably why they do it. I think some people think that they need to be saying something. They feel like they need to be conversing back and forth. And some people are probably not okay with silence. And they feel like they just need to be talking to somebody at all times, right? So that's probably why a lot of people do it. For me, I just don't view it that way. I think that if there's nothing important in the moment to say, that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly okay. I can still be connecting with somebody. And the other thing is, I just really prefer deeper conversations more than that. You know, introverts can talk all day long. That's the thing. I mean, it's not that introverts are quiet or have nothing to say. If there's a topic that interests me brought up, I will literally sit there and talk all day about it. But it has to be something deeper. It has to be something with just not something surface level. If it's surface level, if it's small talk, I really can't do it. But I understand why some people do it. I'm just not, you know, don't connect with me that way.
For me, it's getting in an Uber. That's one of the trickiest ones because, you know, you're not going to have a deep conversation because you're riding for a few minutes and it's someone you don't know, but you get into their car, you know, there's an expectation, you're going to have some kind of chat. It's usually, you know, the same old kind of surface level stuff. And I'm okay for, you know, a minute or two. And then I'm very much like you. I'm like, I'm okay now. Like I can just sit here, but it can be difficult because people can take offense at that, especially if they're extroverted and they used to chat into people all day. They might think like, why is she being so standoffish?
Yes. Yes. And that's what I've seen. I have seen where there are people, that perfect example, the Uber is a perfect example, right? They're used to saying something, oh, I noticed the weather is this way, or this is happening today and this and that. And they're used to somebody talking back with them. And there's this exchange back and forth the whole time. And I think with me, what happens in those scenarios is they'll say something like that and they probably can tell I'm not that interested. And then usually they'll like stop talking. And it's not that I'm being rude. I'm really not being rude. I'm just not interested in that. Now, if they were to bring up something that I was interested in, I might sit there and talk to them. And I've had that happen too. I have had situations where there's a stranger and maybe I'm in the airport or I'm somewhere and they bring up something that I actually have an interest in, and I'll have a conversation in that case. But if it's just something surface level and I can tell the person doesn't really care that much, they're just kind of throwing something out there, then Yeah, I can't really do that.
I interviewed someone for the podcast a long time ago, and he said that as a male introvert, his worst fear was the barber, like going into the barber shop. He's like, because I know that I'm a captive audience for 20 minutes or however long it takes for the guy to do my hair. And I'm sat there and I just know it's going to be like the same conversation, and I can't escape, but I don't want to be rude because the guy's got scissors like really, really close to me.
You know, that's actually, I hadn't even thought about that one. That's a really, I can understand that. Because you're there with the person. You can't leave. You're in their chair, right? They're talking to you. And then typically in a barbershop, there are other people around too.
Yeah.
So there are other people waiting and stuff. And oftentimes for us as introverts, we connect a lot better. I'll speak for myself in one-on-one conversation. So if it's me and a barber, if it's just me and that person, I can connect, I feel, a different way. But if now there's like an audience and there's other people there and I know that they're hearing everything we're talking about, it's just too much. It's too much going on.
You know, I used to go to a hairdresser and it was really beautifully decorated and they were very talented hairdressers. It was quite a big salon, but they had a big kind of oval table in the middle and everyone sat around it facing inwards and there was a mirror in front of each person. So it was like a big dining table because they were trying to be, I guess, a little bit different than just having them against the wall. And I had to stop going there because, yeah, there's people just looking at you everywhere and people's conversation, the way the noise carried in the conversations, I get very overstimulated. So a combination of that, loud music, I've got some kind of like plastic gown around me, I've got hair dye on my head, there's hair dryers, there's chats going on, there's all that. I would come out and I would feel so exhausted. And that's nothing to do with the, you know, the hairdresser and that conversation, yeah, but just that whole environment, which again, you know, something for introverts with our energy, I realized I can't book the hairdresser for the morning and come back and do client calls or do work in the afternoon because I'm going to come home. I'm going to need to decompress. So now I only ever book the hairdresser for like 3 p.m. onwards.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah, that's how I feel a lot of times after my work day. If I'm honest, I'm in meetings all day long, having conversations, talking to people. And similar to what you mentioned with the hairdresser, it's nothing personal against them. It's just so much stimulation, so much going on. And when it's done, you just need to decompress a little bit.
So how do you find the balance between obviously coming home and you've worked and you're tired, but you have your business and you want to write and you want to record the podcast? The days that you get home and you go, do you know what? I just don't feel like doing it. Do you push through and do it anyway? Or do you go, I'm going to let myself off the hook?
That is a really good question. And I'm going to answer it honestly. Most days I push through because I'm very passionate about what I do. In particular, I'm passionate about the people I'm helping. So I push through. But there are some days where I choose to say, you know what, I need a break today. Mentally, I'm exhausted. It's been a long day. I've done a lot and I need a break. And on those days, I may go and watch a movie on Netflix, or I may just read a book that day and not do any work. And I used to feel guilty about that. If I'm being honest with you, when I would do that, I would say, well, I could have been setting up one of my email newsletters tonight. I could have been writing another page for my book. I could have done something for my online course. Like all these things would go through my head and I would beat myself up. And now I've gotten to a place where I realize that if I don't relax at times and if I don't ever take a mental break, then that's not good for me overall. So I need to find the balance between work and relaxation. So I think I've come to a much better space with that now. I do work hard. I don't want to, you know, say that I don't, because I do for sure still. But I also have to find my breaks and my time to relax. And I think it's important for other people to do the same, especially entrepreneurs, people that are maybe working a job and have a business, or full-time entrepreneurs. I think that it's important to do the work, obviously, but it's also important for us to find a balance and relax as well, because we don't want to break ourselves in the end.
Exactly. And that balance can be tricky to find. And I've definitely had seasons where I've been too far in either. And I know a lot of my audience is ambitious introverts. A lot of them have side hustles whilst they're working a full-time job. If you let yourself off the hook every time you go, I don't feel like it today, you'll never make any progress. There are times that you do have to go, oh, I'm just going to push through. Because that can be a really kind of nice excuse as well, if our mindset's not quite there, to be like, oh, well, I'm tired, I just won't bother. But equally, we don't want to become a machine, like you say, and not notice the cues in our body and go, well, I have to do it. There are days that mentally it's just not the space. There are days, now I'm full-time in this business, there are days I open the laptop and I realize after 20 minutes I've done nothing productive. And I'm like, today's not the day for me to do anything other than admin. I'm not going to be creative, and I've got to be okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's just like one of my coworkers, you know, he actually asked me here a few weeks ago because he heard I was coming out with another book. And he's like, Terrence, he's like, how do you find the time? I mean, with this job and as stressful as it is and kids, he's like, how do you find it? And what I told him is, I said, well, every night I try to write 2 to 3 pages a night. And that's all I do, right? And it's funny because, so going back to the comment about someone that just says, well, I'll put it off today, I don't feel like it, I don't feel like it, right? These little decisions that we make, they don't seem like a big deal in that moment. But when you say that same thing and you do it over the course of 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, a year, now you look up and that great idea that you had or that book you had in you or whatever, you haven't written any pages or you haven't done anything, right? So sometimes it's just taking small steps and just getting a little bit done at a time. And then when you need to relax, find some time to relax. But you do have to do the work. You know, at a certain point, you have to do the work. But you also don't want to break yourself either. So it's knowing yourself and it's knowing what the balance is that works best for you, I think.
And I'm very glad that you mentioned the book, which has just been released. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So what led you to the concept for this second book?
Yeah. So I wrote my book, my first book, Quiet Voice, Fearless Leader, 10 Principles for Introverts to Awaken the Leader Inside. That was really, I'd say, the core leadership principles for introverts. And really the theme of that book was your introversion is your superpower. And a lot of that tied into my story. And I gave 10 specific principles for introverts to grow in their leadership. And what I decided to do was to make it into a series. And so it's the Introvert Leader Series. So Quiet Voice Leader, Quiet Voice Fearless Leader was book number one. And now The Calm Effect is book number two. And so what led me to this book is because I started to realize a lot of people kept saying to me, Terrence, how are you so calm? Like, we're in defense and we do things with the army and things are crazy. And, you know, most of the leaders I work with, they are extroverted and their personalities are very different from mine. And so I think I probably stand out in a way.
Mm.
Started thinking to myself, well, why is it that I'm able to be calm? Like, what is that? And I began exploring it and I put it into a concept. And, you know, that concept is the calm effect. And so there's 5 specific principles for introverts to use intentional calmness to grow in their leadership and just build teams and businesses as well. So those 5 tips are: poise is the first principle. Next is patience. Next is observation, then connection and relaxation. And so 5 specific principles. And what I found while I was writing it is that a lot of these things I think are very inherent to us as introverts. They're things that we naturally are able to do very well. We already talked about patience. We talked about the way that we process information. There's actually a lot of strength in that. And so in the book, we go into how to use that and leverage it to be a better communicator and get your deep thoughts that you have, get those out into the world and express those. Observation is another one with that principle, the way that we're able to be in a room and see and observe things that other people are completely missing. We get into the different principles tied to that. So that's really what it was about. It was just, you know, Quiet Voice Fearless Leader was establishing the base that, hey, introverts can lead. Introversion is a strength. And now with the calm effect is taking it to another level where it's saying you can use intentional calmness to be an asset and be a leader in a room. So that's really where it came from.
As you were saying that, it reminded me of a book I read, and it was either Quiet by Susan Cain or The Highly Sensitive Person by Dr. Elaine Aron. I can't remember which one. I'll link them both in the show notes. Who said that throughout millennia, sensitive introverts have been the advisors to warlords, to governments, to anyone running any kind of big company. And it's just that reminder, because there's that calmness, these people are usually quite hot-headed and reactive. And then they have this console of introverts around them to kind of calm it down and just give them a little, you know, take a bit of space and help them breathe. And it always makes me laugh when I watch any kind of US political series, like The West Wing or, you know, anything that's got the White House, it's scandal. You always got this president and he comes into the briefing room, he's really hot-headed and he's like, rah, 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 rah. And then you've got the general sat there going, sir, we just need to calm down. Yes. We just need to take a step. And when you said, like, you know, it's defense, I want people in defense to be calm. I want my air traffic controllers to be calm.
Right. Absolutely. You want someone with a level head. Now, I will say this on the flip side of it. The final book in the Introvert Leader series is going to be called The Fire Effect. And I'm in the process of writing that right now. And the reason I wrote that book is because there is a duality and there is a balance. So calmness is very important. And the calm effect gets all into how to harness that into leadership. But on the flip side, we can't always be calm and always be passive in certain situations. There are times where we need to speak up and we need to have some uncomfortable conversations as well. So I didn't want my fellow introverts to think that I'm saying being calm means to not speak up or to not have hard conversations or to not push back. So with the third book, The Fire Effect, we're getting more into building in assertiveness and building in that confidence to speak up in tough situations. And it's not to say that, because some people have this perception that introverts aren't assertive or introverts don't speak up. That's not at all what I'm suggesting. But I just wanted to make sure that there was that duality there. So, you know, the calm effect gets into the calmness, but then the fire effect, we get into the assertiveness and the importance of that as well. So really want to tie all those concepts in.
And I think that's so important because so many of these things get labeled, like we talked about, you know, introverts get labeled as shy or socially awkward or underconfident or any of these things, which are nothing to do with introversion. It's very easy if someone's calm to say, oh, well, you've got no passion or you don't care about this, when actually they very much do, but they're putting it across in more of a placid manner, I'm going to say.
Absolutely. Yep. Yes. It's very important that, yeah, labels, we don't put labels on people. And very important.
Well, I'm going to link everything in the show notes, everywhere that people can find you, your website, the podcast, both books, etc. So everyone go and check Terrence out. Check out the books. I've read the first one. It's amazing. I will be reading the new one very, very soon. Now, before I let you go, obviously, I'm going to ask you what I ask all of my introverted guests. And that is, could you share with my audience a way that you make sure that you own your energy so that you can keep performing at your best?
Yeah, absolutely. So it goes back to what I mentioned earlier. So for me, owning my energy is about owning my time. So I make sure that if it's been a long day, if I've been doing a lot of work, that I set aside an amount of time for myself. And that time is to do whatever it is I need to do during that time. So I think if someone's listening to this and they feel like they don't get the time to recharge, they feel like life is just constantly hectic, constantly busy, I think it's very important to look at a schedule and sometimes take things off of that schedule. There may be some things that you do in your daily life that you don't necessarily need to be doing, or you could delegate to someone else, right? So I had to really do the work and do that. And so that's how I'm able to own my energy as an introvert, is through my time. I make sure, and I'm very intentional about every day taking time to write, taking time to think, and just breaking away from the day-to-day grind.
And the proof is in the pudding, as we say here in the UK, because you're working on the third book. So obviously taking that time is doing very well for your energy.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm continuing to try to do that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me today. It is so lovely to see you again, and good luck with the third book.
Thank you so much. It was an honor to be on the show. I had a great time.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode. I hope that you're feeling expanded to what's possible for you, motivated to take action, and inspired about how you can start to own your energy. I share even more tools and resources on my Introverts Only email newsletter. By signing up, you not only get early access to the Ambitious Introvert products and services, but you also get brand new podcast episodes delivered straight to your inbox every Monday, meaning you'll never miss your weekly dose of introvert-friendly inspiration. Sign up now at theambitiousintrovert.com/newsletter or click the link in the show notes. See you next week.